This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. Michelle Obama reassures voters of her American family values, and Ted Kennedy makes a surprise appearance to rally the divided Democratic troops. The Mile High City is swarming with journalists this week. Among them are hundreds of bloggers. NPR's Farai Tadea is with three of those bloggers in Denver for today's special convention bloggers roundtable. Chris Rabb, creator of the blog Afro Netizen, Liza Saboteur, publisher of the community blog Culture Kitchen, and Charles Robinson, who blogs at Charles Black Politics Blog.
Thanks, Tony. Hi, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Hello.
It's really fabulous to be in a room with all of you at once, and all of you are covering the conventions. I'm going to get into what it's like covering this convention, but Charles, let me start with you. There is now evidence that there was an assassination attempt in the making on Senator Obama. What do you know about what's been going on?
Well, the Rocky Mountain News has been reporting, doing some of the best reporting on this. And it started on Sunday. There was a man who was weaving erratically. The police pulled him over. They subsequently searched his car. They found methamphetamines as well as several shotguns. They then apparently went to a hotel, which is just north of here, where apparently an acquaintance of his was there. They knocked on the door. The guy jumped out the window. They arrested him. What we do know at this point is that there were several high-powered rifles, and the apparent target seems to be the presidential nominee, Barack Obama, and it was supposed to happen at Invesco Field on Thursday, where they're going to have this huge rally.
Chris, does this surprise you?
No, no. And, you know, it doesn't really surprise a lot of folks. And some people are more optimistic than others. Liza and I were kind of joking before we knew about the plot that, you know, if you're black or brown, you you know, this type of stuff is, you know, you really can't afford to be optimistic and sane, you know.
Liza, when we spoke to the senator as he was really just launching his campaign, I asked him flat out, are you afraid of leaving your daughters in a position where perhaps they don't have a father? And he said, basically, you know, you can't think about things that way. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the idea that if someone succeeds, this could possibly throw America into a huge turmoil? I mean, what do you think?
It's interesting because I have friends who say, well, this is going to, if we elect Barack Obama president, race relations in the United States are going to change and everything like that. And for me, I feel actually there will be a huge backlash against middle class black and brown folk because, you know, now there will be, especially we are in the throes of a recession. We are in a credit crisis. We are in the in a loan crisis. And so, you know, there's so much economic hurting happening in the United States that it'll be easy for certain groups of people to say, well, that black folk over there, you know, they have it better than me. Why is it that I'm working so hard, et cetera?
There has been a certain level of backlash against Michelle Obama. Various people have criticized her as unpatriotic or too black, too strong, any number of things. Last night, she got a little dewy-eyed, and let's listen to a little bit of what she said.
We have an obligation to fight for the world as it should be, and that is the thread that connects our hearts. That is the thread that runs through my journey and Barack's journey and so many other improbable journeys that have brought us here tonight, where the current of history meets this new tide of hope. And you see, that is why I love this country.
Liza, what did you think of, first of all, the tone of her speech and then the content?
I actually had cards going up 9.5, 10.
Still living an Olympic dream.
Oh, right? Yeah. That, you know, this is the Olympics of speech making, mm-hmm. And it was amazing. I think she hit all the right notes, the right tone. I was joking, you know, you could still hear her Chicago accent there, you know. And it's just, she was real. You know, this is a real woman. This is not a packaged product that was standing there. And, you know, better than the speech, Sasha going, "Hi, Daddy."
Yeah.
Aww.
Oh, yeah.
Now, did either of you two gentlemen think that it was manipulative to bring the kids out, or was it just smart?
It's been, you know, this campaign has had a lot of oh my God moments, and I was walking away because I was getting ready to file another story.
When you were in the hall.
I was in the hall, and I was like, oh my God, the kids up there, and I stayed and watched that. And you know, obviously talking to their dad, you know, that's a genuine kind of thing. And of course, I have kids, so I'm going like, would they be yelling at me like that, you know, on air? So, but I think the other thing was, this is really an introduction to America.
Right.
Because most people have seen her in these clips and snippets in the news. And so she got to speak longer than she's probably been heard from most folks. I've had a lot of folks call me and said, "Charles, did you see the speech? I was crying." And I was like, okay, you know, it was a very moving speech. You know, and because maybe I'm a little cynical at this point. You know, it is a stage show. And part of that stage show is to get every ounce of whatever you need to get out of it.
Last night I went to one of the after parties, of which there are many, and it was Wyclef Jean playing, and this woman got up on stage. He was like freestyling about Michelle Obama, and this woman got up on stage with Michelle signs from the convention, one in each arm, dancing. There's a sort of euphoria, Chris, that has struck people. Are people kind of high on this convention? I mean, are people paying attention to content, I guess is what I'm saying, or is everyone just paying attention to the emotional level of things?
Well, you know, conventioneers are a special breed of voter. And in fact, I seem to recall that I met you at the 1996 Chicago Democratic Convention.
You were spotting me on my age.
Yes, you were 7, I believe.
That's right.
No, it's you know, the real reason these things are 4 days long is because that's the amount of time you need to fit all of those parties. I mean, the reality is most of this is self-congratulatory, kind of euphoric, you know, drink the Kool-Aid type of stuff. Very little substance in terms of planned, scheduled DNC stuff, plus satellite events from other constituencies that overlap or perhaps don't overlap.
Well, in case you are just tuning in, this is our Bloggers Roundtable special convention Bloggers Roundtable with us. We were just hearing from Chris Rabb, creator of the blog Afronetizen. We've also got Liza Saboteur, publisher of the community blog Culture Kitchen, and Charles Robinson, who blogs at Charles Black Politics Blog. I'm going to jump into a little bit more of the convention. Uncle Teddy, as his niece Caroline Kennedy called him, has been a senator as long as Barack Obama has been alive, 46 years. He has been quite ill with a brain tumor. People didn't know if he was going to come out and speak. He did. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
So with Barack Obama, and for you and for me, our country will be committed to his cause. The work begins anew. The hope rises again, and the dream lives on.
Charles, you were there in the hall. What was the tone?
I thought the symbolism, you know, connecting the hope and the dream, because obviously on Thursday, you know, it comes on the anniversary of the Martin Luther King "I Have a Dream" speech, and this has been a lot about symbolism and about connecting, you know, the change, the hope thread that's been running through this entire campaign. I was at the Massachusetts Delegation Hotel, and they didn't know if he was going to be here. And they were like, you know, we hoping. And he showed up. And, you know, I love the Ken Burns mini doc that they had ahead of time. You know, having John Lewis in, you know, in one of those Ken Burns kind of moments, you know, you go like, ooh.
Although, you know, we were saying at the we were at the big tent with all the other bloggers, and we were looking at the Ken Burns mini doc, and we were like, you know, that's kind of like a eulogy. And then comes, you know, Uncle Teddy comes out and he gives that speech, man, and it was awesome. It's like it was his "I'm not dead yet."
he in fact specifically said that he planned to be around.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I believe it.
And I mean, I believe it, yeah.
Do you know how many old folk are just waiting to see the first black president be inaugurated and how many people are going to die the day after?
And,
I mean,
he is genuine for him. And this is what I get from Teddy Kennedy, that this is a moment that for him is huge. His brother would have, you know, his brother was the big hope, you know, Bobby Kennedy. And it was that same year also, that horrendous 1968 year. So, I honestly think that, you know, he really wants to see this happen. And that's what we all got last night from him.
Yeah, I think they could have done without the schooner, you know, the Kennedy schooner. I mean,
it just reminds you that your vacations are minimal compared to the Kennedy vacations.
We don't have compounds.
When you have your own skipper.
I can think of Master and Command of the movie. I'm going like, you know, Uncle Ted on the captain of the ship.
Well, I just want to run quickly through, because I want to ask you guys about what it's like blogging here. But before that, we are coming up on a bunch of very important speeches, Senator Clinton and, of course, the man himself, Barack Obama. What are you looking forward to, Liza?
I'm looking forward to having Wi-Fi.
As a blogger,
yeah, I'm just starting small. But when I go out blogging, I really actually, especially reporting, not so much giving opinion, I'm a blank slate. So I want to suck in everything that's happening around me. You know, that's why I have cameras and audio and everything, because I really want to capture as much as I can so that when I start writing, then, you know, I can give that whole different perspective that we bloggers have. So I'm a sponge.
Chris, I mean, what are you looking ahead to content-wise? And then I'm going to circle back on how well the convention is serving the needs of bloggers. But what are you looking ahead to or looking for in terms of information?
Well, there's a phrase I'm wondering if it will ever be uttered from the stage, and that is the dreaded affirmative action.
You want to hear a conversation about that?
Not even a conversation. I just want to hear I want to see if it will ever be said over the next 4 days or you know, however long. Okay, so maybe I'm a closet optimist. No, I think it's interesting because this is the first election where you have ridiculously competent Democratic candidates who are vying for this position who would not be where they were if it wasn't for affirmative action and if it wasn't for the Democratic Party doing what it did back in the day. And so I understand why affirmative action wouldn't be talked about, because it is such a controversial topic, but it's highly ironic that the folks who are, you know, could have been president or maybe president are two of the biggest beneficiaries of this program.
Charles, do you think that people are avoiding, and by people in this case I mean the party and the speakers, are avoiding controversy to try to, you know, keep the big tent fluffed up?
I know every time I ask them how many people are in the text base, that means the folks' numbers that they have, they get kind of, well, we don't really count those. I'm going like, somebody's counting. I just want to know what that fictitious number is.
You're talking about the text messaging.
The text messaging, because when they get to Invesco, they're going to put a number up there, and they want every 75,000 folks to text that number. I want to know, well, how many people is that? And the other thing is coattails. Can this election have coattails? You know, there are a lot of folks who are running for the first time. I'm thinking about Kevin Johnson in Sacramento and various other folks across the country. Can they ride the wave of hope and change? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, this has been the mantra. You know, if you haven't talked about change this year, you ain't winning. Trust me, I've seen a lot of people lose who was like, I'm going with the status quo. That's not working this go around.
Let's turn to the process of blogging. Liza, you are here with a team of people. First of all, how's that working out for you, and how's it changed your role? And then what about some of the blog-centric things like this Big Tent? Explain what the Big Tent is and your opinion of it.
The Big Tent is Now Progress, I think, from Colorado.
Progress
Now put together a space that for, you know, bloggers, credential and non, to be able to go in there and, you know, have a place to be. It looks like a lot like the Tanks 2004 basement out in New York City during the Republic National Convention, only bigger. But it is, you know, I find it really funny when journalists talk about bloggers having it easy with whatever we do. And we don't, because we, you know, we need to have Wi-Fi and electronics and, you know, all of that stuff. And we don't have, it's not easily available for us.
And who are you here with?
I am actually here with a team of bloggers, including Unapologetic Mexican, Kai Chang, my bloggers from Culture Kitchen and Daily Gotham. And we got here thanks to a generous sponsorship from Kenneth Cole Company, one of their bloggers at the Kenneth Cole blog, awareness blog. And so they made that possible.
Charles, does the very fact that blogs are now being given these corporate sponsorships speak to a change in how the game has been played?
I was there at the beginning, and, you know, I joke. I was like, you know, it started with emails to people, and now I blog to folks. It's ever-evolving. You know, whatever's happening today is not going to be happening tomorrow. And I think that, you know, we've seen the influence of both blogs and the varied strata of them. And, you know, from every – I jokingly like to say, real quickly, that, you know, you could write a street novella on all the blogs there are.
Chris, you've been in the game for a long time. How's it changed? And do you like where it is now?
No, I don't like where it is now. It has evolved. But, you know, when I did in 2004, I was the only – credentialed blogger with a site that reached a predominantly black audience. And now there are dozens of wonderful blogs by people of color talking about a wide range of issues. So that's definitely evolved. But structurally, and in terms of social capital and support, it's pretty much the same old game. So we need a lot more discussion and capacity building.
Well, Chris, Liza, Charles, have a great rest of the convention. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was NPR's Farai Chidea speaking with Chris Rabb, founder of Afro-Netizen. He can be found at Blogging While Black. Liza Sabater, publisher of the community blog Culture Kitchen. And Charles Robinson, who writes at the Charles Black Politics blog.